It's good to be here tonight. Why don't you take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, and we will pray here in just a minute and ask God to help us and to bless us. I've had a good day in study. Just a few challenges here and there. God's helped me, and I thank God for everything that He does for me. God, if you just stop and think about all of the blessings that you get, and we don't get them because we deserve them. We get them because God loves us. It's just like our children, okay? They all do stuff that just makes us want to just rip their little head off. And then they're so cute. And we love them. Michaela came in today, and at school, she goes over to Second Baptist little preschool. She came in today with this little paper sack that had a lamb face on it, and it was a little paper sack puppet. Did you see it? Oh, you got to. So she comes into my office, and I look over my desk, and here's this lamb coming up over the side of my desk. Hi! So I'm having a conversation with a wolf in sheep's clothing is what I'm having a conversation with. This little lamb puppet on her hand. And so we carried on a little conversation for a while, and then the lamb said, "Can I give you a hug?" And I said, "Yes, I would love a hug from you." And dead silence for about 10, 15 seconds. And then Michaela popped up over the side of the desk and said, "It's me!" Just like I thought, a wolf in sheep's clothing. They can be so cute. But sometimes, and I heard Reg Kelly preach one time, and I like the way he said it, and he meant business. You got to know his church. He told him, he said, "Some of you people sitting in this church think you're raising little angels with halos." And he said, "You're not. You're raising little devils." Boy, that's true, and he meant it for everybody. We're raising wild beasts. Amen? We're raising wild little beasts that need to be tamed and controlled and taught right and everything else. But the things that we do for our children, they don't deserve a lot of that. Not for, "Well, I was good, you know, but then they're bad." We do these things because we love them. We get over being mad at them. We get over being upset with what they did. We get over having to punish them. And we love them, and we care about them, and we give things to them. And that's our God to us. Can I hear you say amen? Hebrews chapter 13. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read His Word, ask for His guidance and His blessing on His Word tonight. And if God's got something, does anybody have anything on their heart they want to share with us tonight before we pray? Go ahead, Rose. Does he know the Lord? Let's pray that he does, because when you come that close, that ought to make you think that you're going to, one of these days, people, you're going to go stand before the judge of the universe. And you don't know when that's going to happen. And if you don't know the Lord, and he has not given you the grace, the salvation of Jesus Christ, and washed your sins away, you're going to burn in hell. That sounds bad. We're going to pray for this man. We're going to pray that he knows Jesus. Amen? Because God saved him. God spared his life. Let's pray that God will save him. All right? Who else? Yes, Wayne.
I just want to thank you for the prayers. My arm is still swollen, black and blue.
Ah!
I think it's a little better. I appreciate your prayers.
Well, amen. Amen. Go ahead, JR. Pray for his grandma. Okay? I had a phone call today from a man. Go ahead, Andrea.
I had an interview on Friday.
All right. Cool. So pray for that, all right? Had a man call me today. He said he's been going to this church for several years, raised his family there. He said this, his pastor handed him this thing to sign on doctrine. And he said, I just heard my pastor just not talking right about the King James. And he said, there was things in here, he said, that I absolutely knew were not scriptural. Amen. And he said, I told him, he said, I can't sign this. The pastor said, you can't come here then. Out. Yeah. And I love you people. I don't care what you believe as long as you believe this book right here. Believe what it says, and we're going to live by what it says and go by what it says. Amen. We're not going to doubt it anyway. That is happening a lot. I've had people ask, what do you think about all these people that have had pastors handing them this little thing here, sign this, you have to go along with this and you have to do this. And they said, well, we can't agree with that. You're not right about the Bible. You're not, you know, and they'll say, get out, go on. So pray for these people, all right? Yes. You heard me talking about you yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, you almost had told her when I came home. I'm almost famous.
Thanks a lot. I think it's really something. Thank you.
Hey. Amen. Tammy, God gave you to him. Bring him back down a few notches. Amen. God will humble you and bless you at the same time. Steve, back there, what you had on your mind, buddy?
I would like you all to pray for my son here. He's
Is that him?
Yeah, that's little Stephen.
Yeah.
He's been reading the Bible here, and the devil's kind of coming after him. He needs to get saved.
We'll pray for him, all right? Let's go to the Lord tonight, all right? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, Lord, for being so good to us and kind to us, Lord, and Lord, being everything to us, God, that we don't deserve. We thank you, God, that we put our trust and faith in you. You helped us with that. God, Lord, you brought us to the cross. You used the law to bring us to the cross. And Lord, we realized, God, that we were unworthy, that we were condemned, that we were hopeless, Father, until we turned it over to you. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you just help us tonight. Help us, Lord, to go through issues of life. Lord, Father, God, that you'd be kind to us, but Father, Lord, be stern with us. Don't let us out of your sight. Don't let us go away. God, Father, we're asking you tonight, Lord, while we're here and we're sane and everything's right, God, we're asking you, God, to keep us. Because, Lord, you know there are times, Lord, when we can't keep ourselves. So we ask you, Father, Lord, to do that for us and be with us tonight. Bless all these requests. Lord, Father, thank you, dear God, for these praise items. Lord, bless this man that was in that accident. Father, Lord, if he doesn't know you, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd shake him. Lord, even when he closes his eyes, God, give him a vision of hell, Father, Lord, so he'll wake up and know, Lord, that he's not on the right way, and, Lord, that you'd help him. Lord, just bless and honor your word tonight. Help us to receive it with Lord, Father, with understanding, give us grace, Lord, as we hear it. Lord, I pray, God, that this would help us, that crucify our flesh, because our flesh doesn't want it, flesh doesn't want to hear it. Lord, that you would help us, Father, with our flesh. And Lord, Father, just bless us in our soul and our spirit tonight. Honor your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I want us to look at this tonight. I started this last Wednesday night. And some people have asked me some questions about, you know, how, you know, should we obey every law and every rule that's given to us? Should we obey this person? Should we obey that person? And the Bible does have an answer for all those things, and we're going to get in to that. And maybe we're going to end up in this study in Romans 13. Romans 13. There's a lot of chatter on the internet about Romans 13 and how some pastors, they're saying they're using it to get everybody to just go along with what the government says and Obamacare and everything like that. And there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about how the Bible deals with realms of authority. And so this was, you know, just basically how God laid this out in Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 7 in your Bible. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Talked a little bit about that last week. And then Hebrews 13, verse 16, verse 17, actually. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And in Hebrews 13, you know, he mentions back in verse 7, he's given it in the context. And I always tell people, read around a particular verse. The Bible says, walk circumspectly. And when I land on a certain verse and I'm looking at it, I like to go and look around in the text and see where that verse is and what it's talking about in the whole teaching, so you have a good understanding of what it is. So in this particular, in Romans or Hebrews 13, 17, he just simply says, obey them that have rule over you. Now he mentions that back in verse 7, sort of in the context of like the pastor over his people. And he's, you know, because he said they speak unto you the word of God whose faith follow. So we know that's dealing with like a pastor or let's say even the elders of a church. I believe that a church should have elder men in the church that helps lead and guide the functions of the church. I believe in that. And I believe that God has given me as pastor some good men. They've got a heart for this church. They've got a heart for the Lord. They've got a heart for his work. They've got a heart for his word. They love God's work here. And I know these men, they're not doing anything to hurt the work of God here. And God has blessed us with that. And if we have that in place here. And I'll tell you something. We are blessed in this church by the good elder men that God has given us. Can I hear you say amen? And I really believe that. And in the past, they have come under fire. And I don't like that. I don't like it. You go against the elders. You go against these men that are taking the responsibility in their hands. Some of them are actually on the paperwork of our church. They're responsible. They are liable for things that happen here. That's a big responsibility. And I think they deserve the credit. And I think they deserve the respect. That's what I think. And God's blessed us here with that. But I want us to look in verse 17 again, of Hebrews chapter 13. And I want us to take it in different areas of life. And let's make a practical application of different areas of life so that you see this Bible doctrine that where authority is, there is protection there. Where authority is, when there is someone who is taking the responsibility of being in charge of other people, there is that protection. There is a man in the Bible who was a centurion, and he comes to Jesus. And if you remember, and I think I have this, you know what? I do. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. I just remember I had this in my notes, and I was going to deal with it. And I want you to see this thing. This man, this centurion that came to Jesus, he understood the power of the word of authority. The word of authority. And I want you to ponder that for a minute. Let's say that, not only being the pastor here, to some people sitting here tonight, I'm the boss. I'm the big boss. The head cheese, as it were. Okay? I used to answer the intercom, man upstairs. Can I help you? And but I'm the boss. That's my position. It's on the paperwork. That's what people keep telling me. But you're the boss. You know, why don't you do something about it? And if I say the people that work here, man, I love them, because if I say, hey, Gary. Yeah, he came running to my office. Yeah, what do you need? Gary, there's a light bulb out over by the bathroom. Right on it. And he'll run, he'll go put a light bulb in. Okay? Gary, we need some something or other from Home Depot. Sure thing. Boy, he'll run out and he'll get it. Okay? Notice, Gary, and you can testify to this if you wish, that when I've ever given Gary an order, I've never had to take a rod to his back and say, you better do this. Not saying I hadn't thought about it. But he'll do what I tell him to do. And all I'm doing is speaking words. You ever just thought about that? All I'm doing is saying words to him. But he goes and he does what I ask him to do. Sometimes he'll go beyond, above and beyond what I ask him to do, and that's a blessing. But it's just words. That's all it is. I didn't put a gun to his head. Didn't threaten him to beat him. Didn't do anything like that. I just said, this is what I need done, and he'll do it. So you think about the authority. When someone is in authority, all they do is speak it, and it happens. You think about that. Think about who created the universe and how he did it. Boom. So in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord. See that word right there? This centurion was a Roman Jew-hating soldier. Maybe. I don't know if he hated the Jews or not. The Romans and the Roman soldiers did not think too much of the pesky little Jews that they were reigning over, especially the ones that carried or took Jesus to the cross. And here this man goes up to Jesus, the Jew, and he calls him Lord. This centurion knew who was over him. Amen. And he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Listen to what this centurion said. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Boy, somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. He said, all I do is say, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Why did he say that? Israel had a 2,000-year-old track record with God of not doing what God told them to do. And here's this Roman Gentile centurion. And notice that Jesus commented on his faith. You know what his faith was in? You know what he believed in? The authority of the word. That's what he trusted in. That's what he believed in. He said, I've not found faith. No, not in all Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You know what I think that is? The east and west? You know what I think that is? I think that Jesus is saying, I think all the Gentiles are going to come in and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I think right then there was an announcement Jesus was making we're going to see more of you Gentiles coming in and sitting with Abraham, the father of Israel. Because Abraham knew that God was in charge of him. And when God told Abraham, take thine only son and go to Mount Moriah and offer him, Abraham never argued, never delayed. He rose up early in the morning, took his son, and headed for a two-day journey to Mount Moriah. Abraham had faith in the authority of the words that God spoke. And so that's what he's talking about. He said, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. You know who he's talking to? All those Jews, all those Israelites sitting around there. You're the ones who are supposed to be in the kingdom. And here these Gentiles coming in, they believe what I say. This man called me Lord. He believes what I said. You guys are the ones who are supposed to have the kingdom. You're going to be cast into outer darkness where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where is that? Hell. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Jesus, all he said was words, and the man was healed. There's power in the authority of words. And there are people who have authority, and if you will respond to that, they will just speak, and we do. Whether it's in the workplace, let's apply it in just the civil realm that we live in. Okay, I use this illustration. We're driving down the highway, going a little too fast. Been there, done that. Okay. And a cop turns his lights on and a siren. And we know that communicates something to us, doesn't it? That means pull over. And we pull over. He did not have to shoot us over, did not have to shoot our tires out. They did not have to lay spike strips down. They didn't grab us like Rodney King and beat the snot out of us. Okay? He said, pull over, and we pulled over. If that's for me, tell him I'll call him back later. That's all right, okay? He said, pull over, and we pulled over. You know why? Because in our nature, we understand that that man has authority over us. Now, Sterling tells a story one time. I'm probably going to get it wrong. A car or something like that cut you off or something like that, and there was a little conversation going back and forth between you and the guy in the other car, and he said something about how he's going to beat you up, and he said, pull over. And what did you do? You pulled over? I thought you kept going. Yeah, okay. He pulled over till the guy got out of the car, and then he left. And Sterling said, he didn't tell me what he was going to do to me, so I left. Okay, but the bottom line is, Sterling knew that he didn't have to listen to this guy. He knew he didn't have to come under his authority. This man had no authority over him. He was just mad. He had already told Sterling, I'm going to beat you up, you know. Probably different words, probably. But that's what he got at. And Sterling just, okay, bye, see ya. We don't do that to cops, do we? We don't do that to policemen, state patrolmen. We don't do that to Festus police. We don't do that. Because we recognize that there is a limit to their authority, but they have a limited authority over us. And if they say, they can arrest you for not obeying a lawful command. That is a crime. You must obey a... Now, the cop can't tell you, now do 50 push-ups and change my tire. He can't tell you to do that. But if he gives you a lawful command, like step out of the car, put your hands in the air, you have to do what he says to do. Does that make sense? Now, watch this. That policeman, that state patrolman, has signed on and has been trained to yield and give his blood and his life for the protection of the community that he serves in. Most of these guys, that's what's in their mind. They get into law enforcement because they want to make a difference. You hear them talk. I know some of them, they're not worth shooting. I get that. There's going to be that in every pile. But that does not just because there are some dirty cops out there, that does not excuse us to not pull over. To not, when they say, get off the sidewalk, we have to get off the sidewalk. If they say, you guys need to clear the area, I think you ought to clear the area. They gave you a lawful command. We recognize that they are in authority over us. And more than likely, they're telling us these things for our protection because that's what they're there for. Watch this now. What is that they wear on their shirt? A badge, but what else do they call it? A shield. What does a shield do? Protects. That man is going to be on the front line if anything breaks out. It's those guys who are going to get engaged in the war and not us. They're there to protect. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? That's what they're there for. So go back and read verse 17 again with that in mind. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Let's stop right here. Do police officers, just the guy out on the street, the highway patrolman or the deputies around or the Festus police guys, do they have authority over them? Yes, they do. They have a chief, but they also have a judge who, if a cop gets out of line and you can prove it, you can go to a judge and say, they did wrong. And the judge has the authority to rule against them and rule in your favor. Isn't that neat how that works here? That's how it works, and that's how it's supposed to work. Because that policeman must give an account to someone for what he did and how he did it. Even he is under authority. And all of us are under the authority of heaven. And God is always watching. Can I hear God's people say amen? Amen. So is that they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief? For that is unprofitable to you. If we all just decided that we were going to turn against all the policemen out there because of what some dumb, dirty cop did, if we decided that we were going to turn against all of them, they would just give up and they say, you know what? We're not going in that neighborhood. We're not protecting them. You're on your own. And I suspect that there's areas probably of Jefferson County, there's areas of St. Louis County, East St. Louis, where the police say, you know what? I'm not going in that neighborhood. Not at 3 a.m. We're not going in there. They're on their own. You know why? Because they know, by and large, for the most part, those they are hated, they are despised, and they're not going to go in there unless they absolutely have to. Because it's unprofitable, it brings them grief, and they don't want to do it. It's simple as that. Let's apply this to the workplace. Everybody here work somewhere. You've been in a work environment. There is maybe you are the one that's in charge. Maybe someone is in charge over you. So go back and look at that again. Obey them that have the rule over you. It doesn't matter if you're union or non-union. There's somebody who is over you telling you this is what we want. This is how it's to be done. You have to do it. Your boss doesn't have to take a rod to you, doesn't have to take a belt, doesn't have to threaten you with shooting you. He says, like Jared, Jared hadn't worked in a while, got a call, said, Jared, come in. What'd you do? He went in. And they said, man, we're way behind. We got to really step and get it today. What did you do? You went after it full force. He's wearing it on him right now. He's wore out. Okay? But they didn't have to take a rod to him and tell him to do that. They told him to do it, and that's exactly what he did. Why? because they have the authority in their word, and they told you what to do it. And there's a payment for doing it. There's a blessing for you. You get a paycheck, okay? But they have the greater responsibility on them. You're the owner of your company is the one who signs the contracts with the schools or wherever it is you guys are working. And he's the one that's got to pay all the insurance. He's the one that if something goes wrong, that's his responsibility. He bears the responsibility of everything that goes on. So if he says, this is the way we have to do it, you have to do it that way. Can I get amen out of God's people?
Amen.
Why? Because he is bearing a far greater responsibility than you. Would it ever work? Chris, I don't know where you work, but would it ever work if where you work, your boss said, hey, so-and-so, I need you to do this. Get up here and do this. And the guy says, why don't you get up here and do it for me? He'd be going home, wouldn't he? That guy, that boss, has already got a responsibility. He's already bearing a responsibility for the man that works for him. And if he says, this is what we need done, then that's what you have to do. It's all about areas of authority. And it's all about the word. And we all have this idea that if someone is in charge, that if they, this is how it is, then that's how it is. And so, as far as our lives go, we all have the responsibility of this book and what it says. I have a responsibility to say, this is what the book says. This is what the word says. Sometimes it's just like at work. You were dreading going into work. You got to work. The boss said, we got to do this. And you go, oh, I don't want to do that. But you know the consequences for not doing it. You're going to go home. You're going to be without a job. You're not going to be able to pay your bills. It's that simple. And so there are things that I don't like to do. I'm talking me personally. There are things in this book that I don't like to deal with. Because I know it's going to be a headache. I know it's going to be a lot of pain. I know it's going to be grief. I know probably what's coming down the road. But I have to say it. I have to deal with it. I have to talk about it. This whole idea of authority, I don't like preaching on this. I don't want the reputation of anybody, whether you go to this church or you're just watching, I don't want the reputation that I'm some dictator pastor, and I have known men like that. And I've watched their lives and their ministry. And I go, I don't want to be like that. I don't want people to think of me that way. I don't want people, whether you work for me, you live in my house, or you go to my church, to think of me that you better do what I say or the wrath of Mike is going to come, or the wrath of God. I know some pastors that will use the wrath of God thing on everybody. If you don't do what he says, then God will kill you. I don't like to do that. That's just not my nature. I'd just rather not be that way, and I don't want anybody to think of me that way. But there are things that sometimes, maybe behind the pulpit or standing here, that I have to tell you. And sometimes people don't like it. But see, I have to give an account to God for things that I either said to you or didn't say to you. I have to give an account. Sometimes in private, I've had to deal with situations privately in my office, and if they're in my office, they don't leave my office. And I've had to deal with situations and people, and I had to say things that I did not want to say. I don't like it, but that's what the book, I can't go against the book. That's what the book says. I've had to tell people things that they didn't want to hear. Asking them, now, I don't want to make you mad, but I want to tell you what the Bible says here that you've got to do. Sometimes they're gracious about it, they're humble about it, they submit to the word. Sometimes they don't. And that grieves my heart. Because then I feel like, well, maybe I should have done it different, or I should have said this, or maybe I shouldn't have said anything. And sometimes, folks, I'm going to lose no matter what. But if it's the Word, and it's in this book, you and I, see, that's why we all have the same Bible. Everybody have the same Bible in here, say amen.
Amen.
So that now there's no argument. Well, Pastor, but my Bible says such and such. Well, then now we've got confusion. Now who's in charge? Now what's in charge? There's no firm Word. But we're all using the same book, reading the same verses. I can tell you, okay, look right here. Now look right here. This is what it says. And I don't know exactly all there is to know about it, but I'm just telling you that's what it says, and I think we ought to stick to what the book says. And that's what he's getting at here. I want you to look in. Let me read a verse. Turn to Mark chapter 1, if you would. Mark chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me make another application very quickly of this. Obey them that have the rule over you, okay? Ladies, I'm always on your side on everything. I love you. God bless you, because you have to put up with men. And men are pigs. Literally, I was showing Sterling and Lisa. There's a man they found that lives in a village or outside of a village in Iran.
Yes.
He's 80-something years old. He has not bathed in 60 years. His flesh is scaly and black, and his hair is matted. And he eats rotten meat and likes it, and he smokes animal dung through this pipe. And he gets angry when people suggest to him that he clean himself or drink clean water or something like that. This man is the world's most ineligible bachelor. No kidding. Okay? Literally, this man is a pig. Amen, ladies? So, now look at your husband and say, oh, thank God. I'm telling you, there's always somebody worse out there. Amen? Ladies, I always tell you to pray for your husband. Pray for him a lot. Because God gave you the responsibility of obedience. But God gave him the responsibility of bearing the authority and bearing the responsibility that goes with it. And I can tell you from a man's point of view, sometimes when we think that we need to do a certain thing or say a certain thing or be a certain way, sometimes it grieves us as men because we know mama's not going to go along with it. And it brings grief to us. Okay? And it kind of takes the joy out. Remember, ladies, I'm always on your side. Okay? But if you will pray that God will lead your husband and that God will soften your heart, God will bless that. Okay? Now, I know there's other circumstances where the devil is destroying marriages right and left, and I get it. And he's always going after the man, big time. He's trying to destroy husbandry or manhood out of manhood. Okay, I saw a lady on Judge Judy the other day, 7 kids, she doesn't work, all them kids are nothing to her but moneymakers. No man in her life whatsoever. Those children will grow up to take her life one step further down the road, and we know that, because there was no man in that home to provide stable security and authority over those children. None. God even gave us men a deeper voice than he gave women. Why? Because it commands respect. When we had a daycare downstairs, Every now and then, those kids would get all wound up, and you could hear those high-pitched squeals coming from the teachers. Ugh! Every now and then, I would walk downstairs, and I would say, "Stop it now!" And those kids would go, and you wouldn't hear a word from them for seconds. Okay. But God even gave us a voice of authority. Amen? How did drill sergeant sound? Joe, how did drill sergeant sound? "Come on, guys. Let's get up." No? Remember Sergeant Carter from Gomer Pyle? That's how they sound, isn't it? They have a voice of authority. Okay? And we get that. Ladies, what I'm going to tell you is, as much as possible, let your husband be in charge. That doesn't mean that he can't listen to you. He should listen to you. I've already spelled that out 100 times. I feel like I'm always apologizing, ladies, because I don't want you mad at me. But I'm telling you, this is how it is. It's how it is. And I don't like saying it, but I can't apologize for it, because it's the Word of God. Thank you. Mark chapter 1, verse 22. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. The scribes were these philosophers. They were the elite, educated group and all that stuff. And here Jesus, he was uneducated. He did not go to the scribe school, did not go to the school of the Pharisees. But he taught them as one that had authority in his voice and in his words. And so in verse 23, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." This devil knew who he was. And the Pharisees didn't. But the devil knew who he was. The devil knew that Jesus Christ was God Almighty. And if Jesus said, "Now!" then that devil jumped. That's all there was to it. He commanded them with his word. Now watch this. "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him." What did Jesus do? Did he whip him? No. Did he take sword after him? No. He spoke. And that unclean, rebellious devil came out of that man. In verse 27, "And they were all amazed, insomuch as they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And I'll tell you something, folks. Now, that I have this thing that unclean spirits, they're like a beast. They have a beast nature. Your dog will obey your voice, will he not? Okay? Your dog will, if you say to your dog, do this or do that, by and large, that dog is going to obey your voice. When our little dog hears me coming through the house screaming, she runs under the table because she knows where the wet spot is. And she knows I stepped in it. She knows. She hears my voice. And she knows to run and hide. She knows I'm mad. Okay? Now you listen to this. Devils don't disobey God. But then God did not give them a choice in their nature. They simply have to do what God tells them to do. Period. Okay? Humans have a choice. God gave us free will. You believe that?
Amen.
He gave us free will. We are the ones who too often choose not to obey the voice of authority over us. We don't. God speaks, and we don't do. The Ten Commandments bear witness to that. God speaks to us, honor thy father and thy mother. That's been in the Ten Commandments ever since we were children, and we knew it was there, and we still didn't honor our father or our mother. God's law, God's word, God's voice commands us, thou shalt not steal. I won't ask, but I'm 99.99% sure that everybody in this room put something in their pocket that did not belong to them at one time in their life. God's voice commanded, we chose not to obey. God's voice said, thou shalt not bear false witness. I am 100% sure that everybody in this room has told a lie, maybe told a bunch of them. We've chosen not to obey the voice of authority over us. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. I am 100% sure that everybody in this room has looked upon something or thought of something and coveted after something. Animal, vegetable, or mineral. We did it. Even though God said, don't do it. We, above all people in the world, should understand that when God's voice with authority speaks, you and I must do, or there are consequences. That's why you got saved, isn't it? Because God said, thou shalt not. We heard it. We knew it. We did it anyway. That's just pure rebellion, is all it is. I mean, wouldn't we say that to our kids? If we told our kids, no, don't you dare do that, and 5 minutes later, they're in there doing it. You rebellious. You just rebelled against me. They got it in their nature, don't they? So does their mom and dad. That's what makes us so mad, doesn't it? And probably we've got it in our nature more than we like to realize. So, you know, sometimes maybe the guy at work says do this, we don't want to do it, and so we don't do it. There's consequences for it. Sometimes if the cop says do this and we don't do it, there's consequences for it. The government says do this and we don't do it, there's consequences for it. If the parents tell the children do this and they don't do it, there's consequences for it. Likewise, if God tells us to do something and we don't do it, it's rebellion. You know what God calls rebellion? Witchcraft. And he said that to Samuel, because Samuel had the word of God given to him. It was the orders that Samuel told him to obey. And Saul didn't obey. He rejected the word of the Lord. He got in rebellion. What happened to Saul? Did I say Samuel? Saul? It was Saul. What happened to Saul? And it was Samuel that told him, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. What happened to Saul? Where did he end up? He ended up going to the witch of Endor for the last word of prophecy that he ever heard on this earth, and he was dead in the field the next day. God turned him over to witchcraft, and Saul is in hell now because he rejected the voice of authority over his life. God is not mocked. Can I hear an amen out of somebody? When God says this is rebellion, when God says do this, we have to do it, period. Or we have to take the consequences. Now, as sons of God, when God tells us as his born-again believers to do something and we don't do it, what does God do? Somebody asked me yesterday, I didn't get a chance to answer the email. You can stand to your feet. Somebody asked me yesterday, Pastor, how's that chastening thing work? You know, is it, you know, God, and I didn't get a chance to answer it, but I'm thinking, whatever hurts the most. Amen? God will get you at wherever it hurts the most. That's what he'll do. And God always has a design for chastening. And isn't it amazing that these cute little behinds on these children, they're full of fat and nerve endings. And there's no muscle, no vital organs, no bones there, nothing like that. They're just full of absorbent fat and nerves. And when you apply the board of education to the seat of knowledge, God designed it that way. I don't believe you ought to hit kids on the head with a board. I'm serious. Amen. I don't believe you ought to do that. I think you ought to do it the right way. Get them where it hurts the most and won't damage them. That's how God does it to us. He'll get you where it hurts the most. But he'll do it because he loves us. He wants us to do what he said.